whatever, however he wants the ministry, the word of God to come forth this morning. I thank you, Father, that no weapon formed against this membership, these people that are here today, will prosper. No weapon, Father. And we thank you for protection that we've already heard over our members. And we appreciate that, Father, that you're such a good God. You're such an awesome God. And we thank you and glorify your name in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Oh, yeah, as a reminder, baptism. What did we say, September the 6th? September the 6th is baptism. That's a Wednesday evening. So we're going to baptize at that time. So if you're not signed up, please do so. And there's a sign-up sheet for baptism in the walkway as you go to the fellowship hall there. So make sure you get your name and contact information so that we can make sure that the ministry team can get with you beforehand. And I think there is supposed to be a meeting of the baptism committee directly at the church this morning or this afternoon. So make sure you're members of that committee that you all get together, because it won't be long before September. It's only a couple of weeks away. Praise God. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. That's where we will start at this morning. We said last time that the Holy Spirit will guide us in all areas and all things. And the purpose of the Holy Spirit, he is here to help us. And Jesus spoke so highly of the... Matter of fact, let's go to John first. John chapter 16, I believe it is. John chapter 16. Jesus' ministry, for those that, you know, been studying the word a while, or whether it's a few years or maybe even a few months, you recognize that Jesus' ministry did not take off really until he was baptized or filled with the Holy Spirit. And that happened on the day that he was water baptized by his cousin John, who we call John the Baptist, and the Spirit came upon Jesus. As a matter of fact, actually that was a whole supernatural day, because the voice of the Lord came forth and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." In other words, Jesus had did a wonderful job. He was on an assignment here, but keep in mind, Jesus' assignment on earth in the flesh, he was God in the flesh, was temporary. There is another part of God that's here now and will be here until Jesus returns, and that's the Holy Spirit. And so understand that the Holy Spirit has taken over the ministry that Jesus had. And so it's so very important that we understand the role, and Jesus really understood it. So in John chapter 16, he was preparing his disciples for his time to leave. And, you know, we don't want, we're always sad when it's time for somebody to go. Let me give you a classic example. You know, Lakeisha's daughter is going to college, and there are several other folks. I think their children are going to college. And when they're born and they're infants and they can't do anything for themselves and they're starting to learn to crawl, the next thing you know, they're walking and they're in first grade, and before you know, they're graduating. And while you're in that, it seems like a long time. But then when it happens, it seems like it was almost overnight. And so they probably felt the same way, that, wow, Jesus hadn't really been here that long, but his time was... he had a plan. God had a plan, and once he carried out that plan, then his time was to leave. So he was preparing his disciples for his time to leave. So he says, let's go to verse 4, John 16:4, and he says, "But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now," he says, "I go my way to him," talking about the Father, "that sent me, And none of you asking me whether thou goest. But because I have said these things unto you, you sorrow, sorrow hath filled your heart. But he says, I'm fascinated by what he told them in verse 7. He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. He says, it is expedient. And so if you have your own Bible, put a little footnote there, because that word expedient means to our advantage. So in other words, Jesus said it is to your advantage, to our advantage, for you that I go away. Doesn't seem right, does it? He said, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. The Comforter is just one of the many names of the Holy Ghost. And so Jesus said, it is better for us that he go back, because the Comforter is here. And one of the reasons I think that it's better is because the Holy Spirit can be in many places at once. And Jesus was flesh and bone and blood like we are. And so we can only be in a place at a time with the ministry. But the Holy Spirit, you know, you can get filled with the Holy Spirit. You can have somebody in Russia, in Argentina, in the North Pole, South Pole, all get filled with the Holy Ghost at the same time. You know, and the Holy Ghost ain't running around, you know, sweating, saying, man, how am I gonna pull this off? He is just everywhere all the time. And so what a wonderful ministry that he is. Praise God. And so Jesus wanted them to know. See, it's a team, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Praise God. You know, we talk about Jesus a lot, and rightfully we should, because he paid the price. We certainly talk about the Father, but we don't give the Holy Spirit enough credit for the ministry that he has done and has been doing for thousands of years now. And that's what we are doing on Sundays, is trying to understand how important that the Holy Spirit is to us. And I think I forgot to turn my microphone on here. So keep the podium on. There we go. Now we can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. See, without the Holy Spirit, just think about this, thanks to God, life is really powerless. I mean, we think that we are powerful, but without the Holy Spirit, I'm talking about to the believer now, life is powerless. Now, we think we're doing okay. You know, you may have a few thousand, or maybe even a few hundred thousand in the bank. You know, you may be in supreme soundness of mind and soundness of body, but, you know, what we want to do, what we need to happen. When I say we, talk about the church, not just Victory Church, but I'm talking about the church of 2017. We need to be in a position where the Word of God is demonstrated with power. Amen. People need to see folks getting healed and delivered, and signs and wonders, and the gifts of the Spirit's in operation. And so we want to be, and we shall be, church unusual here, because we want to allow the Holy Ghost to minister to and through us, not just me as a pastor, but the elders and the laity as well, moving and flowing in the Holy Ghost, because it's not just a pastoral thing. The Word of God says in Mark 16, you know, that the signs shall follow who? Believers. Amen. So they should be following you as well. And so don't just look at yourself as just a member. You're more than just a member. Glory to God. You're a powerful man and or woman of God. And so don't ever forget that. But the Holy Ghost is what's charging us and giving us that power. And don't give up on the Holy Ghost, and don't give up on yourself. Amen. So God's supernatural power through the Holy Ghost is still with us, and he will continue to be with us until God return. Now, the thing about the Holy Spirit is that it's been preached about so negatively over the decades. So a lot of people are are confused and maybe unlearned or untaught or have been lied to because of what's been coming out of pulpits and stuff. And so if there's always the issue of what the truth is, don't go to the Victory Christian Center's center of belief. Let's go to the Word of God. Let the Word of God, no matter what your denomination is, what does the Word say? Let's allow, we must allow, we will allow the Word of God to be the final authority. And so no matter what we was taught, what church we came up in, what Big Mama told us or Uncle Buddy from Germany, doesn't matter who it was, but what does Jesus say about it? What does the Holy Ghost say about it in these 66 books? In this canon that we call the Bible. That's the key thing to God. We must learn to agree with what the Word of God says and stop arguing because of what Bishop Bishop Pharaoh said. I'm going with what the Word of God said. Amen. That's why it's so important. That's why I ask you to bring your Bibles on Sunday. And that's why I always say, if you don't have it, raise your hand and let's look at the Word of God, because there's been so many wrong teachings about the Holy Ghost. They said, and you can hear this in seminaries. I mean, some of the best seminaries in the country. I mean, you pay big money for them to have you. You can come out the seminary almost not believing the Word of God. Because there's a whole lot of, there's a whole lot of scholarly books that you get caught up in. These scholarly, they sound, but they're not scriptural always. Or they will take a scripture and wrongly divide it and try to make a doctrine out of it. And so if we're not studying and allowing the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost actually will teach you the Word of God if you will allow him to do so. Amen. And so, one of the biggest lies was told is that when the last apostle died, all of the gifts went away with it. And, the gifts of the Spirit and miracles and wonders. How can that be so? Go to Ephesians. I know I said Corinthians, but go to Ephesians. Put something there because we're coming back. Glory to God. Let me show you something here. Let's get rid of that last apostle died theory right now. Ephesians chapter 4, New Testament. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 says, "And he," talking about God, "and God gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers." Those are the what we call the fivefold ministry. You see what's leading the parade, don't you? Apostles. So the last apostle hadn't died. Apostles are still with us, and pastors are still with us. Evangelists and teachers and preachers are still with us. And so, don't fall for that lie that when the last apostle died, then signs and miracles and wonders were done away with. Because, see, what happens is that if we don't preach and teach about signs and wonders, then there will be no signs and wonders. But when we start to preach and teach about it, whatever is taught in the word, the power of God is always there to perform that which is taught. And so if we teach this Holy Spirit series long enough, amen, At some point, and for those that are on the fence, those that are skeptical, something will click, and you'll have what I call a V8 moment. You go like this: I get it, I see it, I understand it, and we'll realize that there is something so much bigger than us, and it's a spiritual thing. See, what the challenge that we all have is that we walk primarily by our five senses. And there's nothing wrong with having 5 cents. I don't know about y'all. I appreciate having you sitting down and you can taste the difference between vanilla ice cream and chocolate ice cream. Glory to God. You can taste the difference between lobster and blue crabs. Glory to God. And you can taste the difference between snow crabs and Dungeness crabs. You can do that. I want that. You know, I like the smell of nice perfume and nice cologne and good food cooking and etc. All of those things are wonderful, but there is a spiritual side to all of us that we got to understand that these five senses cannot help us with. Amen. And so we have to have assistance with the spiritual side via the Holy Ghost. And so everything that we deal with is, a matter of fact, most of the stuff that's happening around us is unseen. Everything that is made, even the air that you breathe, has been made by that which is not seen. Glory to God. I'm talking about God. None of us have seen God at any time. But in the book of the beginnings, in Genesis chapter 1, all he did was speak the word. He said, let there be. And stuff started popping up. Planets. Solar systems, air and trees and all kind of stuff just start popping up. Glory to God. And so he is, we got to understand, don't know about you, and maybe you have, and God bless you if you have. I've never seen Jesus, but I believe that he is. The word of God says, blessed are those that have not seen. And that's one, I'm in that blessing bunch. I have not seen, but I believe that he is. I got my whole life staked on the fact that he is. Amen. Unseen. So don't tell me you say, Pastor, I just got to see something. Well, let me ask you this. Now, how many of y'all got jobs? When they hired you, did you say, Mr. Boss Man, can you please show me the books? So that I'll know in 2 weeks from now, when it's time for my check to come, that you got money to pay me. No, you didn't ask him to see no books. You went out to the apartment complex and say, Mr. Apartment Owner, I got the job. And you rented an apartment or leased an apartment. You went to the furniture store, got you some furniture on the word of a man. Didn't see nothing. Amen. Believe everything that he told you. Yeah. Amen. And why can't we believe God who created the man, who created the wood that they build the apartment with? So you can be moved by stuff that you don't see, but you got to, the word of God will change the way that you think. See, we think in only one dimension, but there's more than just this three-dimensional world that we see. There's this unseen. Glory to God. And that's where a lot of activity goes on, good and bad. Amen. Believe it or not, the devil is not a myth. He is real. But everybody in this room that's saved is more powerful than the devil. Not everybody, not a few of us, but everybody is more powerful than the devil. But he's a liar. He will have you thinking that he's more powerful than you. He'll tell you that all the time. He'll have you feeling bad about yourself. He'll tell you, he'll say, look in that mirror. He'll say, now who gonna want you? Glory to God. He'll have you thinking all kind of stuff. He'll have you all messed up. Depends upon who you are and how you grew up. I can remember as a boy, it wasn't cool. It wasn't cool to be chocolate like this. Chocolate brothers like this was, hey. Also, they want no chocolate brothers. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. But I couldn't do nothing but, I didn't have Michael Jackson's secret. I couldn't do nothing about the chocolate thing. So I had to roll with chocolate. Glory to God. And so you got to feel good about who you are. Amen. You got to like you. A lot of times, the reason people don't like you is because you don't like your own self. And whatever you project, that's what you will attract, and that's what you will get. But when you feel good about yourself, glory to God, you take care of yourself, you keep your hair right, glory to God. You don't have to wear a designer stuff, but you just do whatever you got is neat. And you start dressing neat, I see, boy, I be wanting to holler. I see sisters out with these plastic bags on their head. What's up? You be in the store? In the doctor's office? Nah, I hope ain't none of y'all. So everybody wasn't clapping. Goodness. Plastic bags. What does that say? Hey, amen. That's house stuff. Glory to God. Get you something and tie your head up. Don't go out with that plastic thing on you. That is telling people, I don't care nothing about how I look. Amen. That's what it's telling you. Goodness. How did I get on that? I don't know. Look at somebody and say, stop wearing them bags. Glory to God. Oh, I'm just going to Publix. I don't care where you're going. You're going outside, get you a hat or a scarf or something. Don't go out with the plastic bag on your head. Amen. Don't look good on nobody. Beyonce, you don't look, plastic bag don't look good on Beyonce. Care who you are. Do the right thing. Go back to Corinthians. But we've been lied to about the Holy Ghost. Talking about he was gone. Done away with. He ain't done away with. I know. So you wouldn't hear this. Glory to God. Now I'm back. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm going to read quite a few verses because, see, this is one of the areas where they'll use and say, well, the Holy Spirit is we don't really need him, et cetera, et cetera. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. He says, the word says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, above that word charity, put love. We're not talking about charity where you're giving to the poor, this kind of stuff. We're talking about love. And have not love, I am become a sounding brass or a tingling cymbal. In other words, just making noise. See, everything that we do, thanks to God, as Christians, is generated, motivated by what? By love. It can't work if you don't have love. You get in a relationship and you'll stay in it for a while. Good sex will keep you somewhere for a while, but it won't last. You better be in love. Amen. And so we have to learn how to be taught how to be in love and not move by how you feel all the time. See, because five senses will cause you to break up with somebody every 6 months. Because you're walking by how you feel. You may wake up one day and don't even feel like being married. You will. Say, goodness, what was I thinking? You have to cast them. Corinthians said, cast it down. Don't meditate on it too long because you'll figure out a way to get out. You have to know when the devil's talking to you. He's trying to mess up a good thing. Amen. And it says in verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, the word of God says it profits me nothing. Amen. So what he's trying to tell us here is that the Spirit, the gift of the Spirit, operates by love. And then when you're flowing in the gift, don't be trying to promote yourself. Puffing yourself up because you have interpreted some tongues or you gave a word of prophecy or the word of wisdom or the word of knowledge. Don't puff yourself up. And see, love won't allow you to puff yourself up. You do something nice, you know, for your wife or your husband. It's you know, to me, that's what you're supposed to do. Amen. That's what you're supposed to do. Say, oh, I bought this $3,000 necklace. Well, that's fine. That's what you ought to do. Amen. That's why you married her or him, right? Now, you got to add in the challenge. Let's go down to verse 8. It says in, look what it says in verse 8. Now, love never fails. I'm talking about real love. I'm not talking about this erotic love. I'm talking about the God. I'm talking about agape love. The God kind of love never fails because it is not moved by how it feels, what it sees, or what have you. And that's why as Christians, as we get to understand that we are more than just five senses, our lives get so much better. Our lives become so rich because we realize that there's this whole spiritual realm where heaven is, and that we cannot see with our physical eye, but we know that it exists. Amen. I can't see wind, but I certainly can feel it. Amen. So I know it's there. And you can really, when the Spirit of God is strong in a place, it's almost tangible to the touch. You can almost feel it. It'll start with little goosebumps on you. And the next thing you know, your feet, you know, you're wondering, who is that feet making that noise? That be you. You out there dancing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Verse 8, once again, love never fails. What never fails?
Love
never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Where there should be tongues, they say, oh, there you go. That's what I wanted to see there. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, see what they were, they, you know, a lot of people teach that which is perfect. They're talking about the word of, you know, they were talking about the word of God. But here they're talking about when Jesus comes back. See, when Jesus comes back, saints of God, what do we need to speak in tongues for? Amen. We don't need to prophesy in heaven or speak in tongues or interpret tongues, but we will still need to walk in love. You still got to act right in heaven. You will always need love, but all those other gifts we will not need in heaven. The only thing you will need is love. That's why you got to work on it here on earth. Glory to God. Amen. Love is so important. Don't underestimate love. But when that which is perfect is come, talking about Jesus, then that which is in part shall be done away with. So that's what they'll say. Well, tongues have been done away. Come on, rightly divide this thing, people. Then he says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am also known. See, there are just some things that we know now, but we'll know a whole lot more when Jesus returns, saints of God. Amen. So the perfect thing is when the Lord comes back. As I said, there will be no need for prophecy or any other gifts when Jesus comes back. Go to, say in Corinthians, let's go to the second chapter, 1 Corinthians, that is, and go to the second chapter. Amen. See, when people bring you the truth, stick with them. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul had to straighten these folks out here in Corinth. Corinth. you read the history of Corinth. The church there, it was a wild bunch. They would be every, you know, you'd have a whole bunch of people talking in tongues at the same time. And you don't know, I could preach a whole sermon in tongues. Want me to show you? I can. Well, will that, well, Anita, will that do you any good? No, it won't do you no good. It won't do you any good for me to do that. You have to be able to understand what I am saying in order to get something out of it. So, and that's how they would do it at that church. They would, at communion, and that's what the communion piece was all about. They would overeat and drink too much during the communion service. So Paul was, what he was doing, he was trying to bring some order back to the church. I mean, that was a tongue talking bunch, and Paul said, I speak in tongues more than you all. So if he spoke in tongues more than this bunch, he was a tongue talking brother. But see, there is always, see, God is not the author of confusion. There's always order where it looks like there's not order, where you can have a whole bunch of people dancing in church, but there is order where it looks like there is no order. See, God's got a plan if we learn how to fit in. But see, we are so used to rebelling. We rebel against our parents. We rebel against authority. We rebel against our mates. We rebel against the teachers and elementary and middle school and high school and in the military service. And then when we come to church, we're going to rebel against the pastor. See, I'm just rebellious. And then we miss out on the word of God because, and I pray that in all of our churches, we are dispensers of truth. And that's all we, you know, that's what it's all about, that you get the truth. Because Jesus said, if you get this truth, glory to God, you'll be free. It ain't nothing like being free. I don't know if anybody in here ever been bound up before. God, ain't nothing like being free. And the truth or the word of God. But you don't just get it in one dose. It's just like you go to the doctor, you get medicine for your baby or yourself or what have you. You don't get a baby no one dose. You keep giving them doses until the medicine run out, because that was what the prescription is. The prescription with the word of God is that you take it all your life. You don't come in one Sunday and get a dose and then I ain't got to come back no more to Easter. Please. That dose ain't going to last you to Easter. Glory to God. And that's what we got to understand. The church is important. But because of so much confusion and a lot of foolishness and strife goes on in these houses of God, folks don't want to have nothing to do with it. And that's our fault for allowing that to happen. Talking to the leadership yesterday in Helps Meeting, and was telling them, I say, well, you all have to stand up and lead. Amen. Like in the past, we've had trouble in those last two rows back there with people just talking and unruliness going on. I say, take them rows back. Let the devil take, why we give the devil the last two rows in the church? What kind of mess is that? Take the rows back. If they won't act right, just point at them. I'll make them come right up here and sit in the front. Glory to God. Now, it's a good place to sit. You know, if you got small children, you got to go in and out. You're not disruptive, when you do that. We understand that, but you keep law and order when you're in the house of God, because people came to learn something. Amen. So we're going to do that every Sunday. We got to do it right, saints. Got to do it right. Y'all found the second chapter yet? So in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "Our brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech." In other words, I wasn't trying to show you how erudite and scholarly I was, or of wisdom declaring unto you the testimony of God. "For I determined not to know anything among you, except that Jesus is the Christ, and he's crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Glory to God. And that's what I just started to ask the Holy Spirit for, that. Let the word go be demonstrated with power. And that's what the world needs to see in these houses of God. They need to see the word demonstrated with power. And what should be signs and wonders going on in our services. And that's up to us. And I was telling the leaders yesterday, it's up to us whether that's going to happen or not. You know, you got half the folks mad at the other half. You know, the ushers mad at, the singers. The singers mad at the teachers. And all of them mad with the preacher. You can't do it. No, that ain't happening. So don't be tripping. It ain't really happening. I'm just using that as an example. But that's why stuff don't happen in church. And then we just allow it to go on for years and years and years because nobody won't say anything. We famous as a people. We won't say anything. We'll watch somebody haul off our neighbor TV, the sofa, refrigerator. And then when the police come to your house, you say, I ain't seen nothing. You should have called the police. You should have been using your phone, getting video and everything. But we won't say anything. And because we quiet in the neighborhood and allow any foolishness to go on, if you allow foolishness to go on in your house and in your neighborhood, you will allow foolishness to go home in your church. Amen. I always tell my children, you can't be changing them hats like that. You are who you are. Now, you can be trying to, you can try to disguise yourself if you want, but your real self will always show up. The real you will always show up. Now, you can dress up and look pretty if you want, but the real you will always show up at some point. Glory to God. That's why you can't be fronting. Glory to God. So he was telling these people, hey, I've been bringing you the truth. You know, I know it's not in the Bible, but you hear people talk about it. He was kind of like a spiritual father to this church. And he was trying to tell them, you know, I'm bringing you the truth. Stick with me. I know what I'm talking about. He was trying to educate him. Let's jump to chapter 4, if you will. Amen. That power has got to be demonstrated, saints. Oh, we can't be satisfied with what's happening. A few little healings every now and then. Should be regular. Good testimonies ought to be happening regular. We need to start keeping a book of good testimonies. Just have them in a book. So people say, well, you know, we don't teach that. I say, well, we do. Look at this whole, you see that book? that's what God has done in people's life. Amen. But sometimes we be happy with big old pretty churches and air conditioned and got 900 different rooms in it and all of that stuff, and it is almost like Disney World. Glory to God. And people, you know, you can attract people with that. But are you changing their lives? That's the question. Are we changing their lives? Now, you can do both. You can have a Disney World church that reminds you of Disney World, but if you're changing lives too, woo, that's powerful. That is straight up powerful. Chapter 4, verse 19, it says, I'll come to you shortly. If the Lord will, and will know that not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. Glory to God. Let me read 19 again. Let's go with the 18. Now some are puffed up as though I would not come to you, but I will come to you shortly. If the Lord's will, or if the Lord allows, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. Talking about the power of God. For the kingdom of God is not just words, saints, but it's power. It's not just words coming out of these pulpits. Amen. But it should be power. In many cases, we satisfied with somebody hooping and sweating up and getting happy about that. But I crave to have the power of God moving and operating in our life and in our ministry, in our homes, and in every area that we have influence over, saint to God. Amen. Let the power flow. Glory to God. Amen. So the baptism of the Holy Ghost is the introduction of the power of God into our lives. And we have to understand that, saints of God, that the Holy Ghost, we need the Holy Ghost. Don't run from the Holy Ghost. A lot of folks done lied to us about the Holy Ghost. Let's review some things again back in chapter 2. Glory to God, glory to God. So in verse 4 through 6, he says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in what? But in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that has come to naught." Drop down to verse 9. "But it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard." This is the Old Testament. "Neither have entered into the heart of men the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." Do you really love the Lord? He's, oh, goodness. If you, well, see, we say lip service that we love the Lord. But love, how do I say this? Love is an action word. Love, you demonstrate. See, if you demonstrate your love, you don't really have to say I love you all the time, because your actions will say that I love you. And then when you say I love you, that's just icing on the cake. Because a lot of people will say they love God, but their actions do not attest to the fact that they do love God, because they're rebellious. They don't respect, pastors. They don't respect parents. They don't respect teachers. They don't respect nothing. But all that can change. If we will allow the word of God to get in our heart, he can change all of us. So don't be discouraged if you meet all of those things that I just said, that God can and will fix that if you will allow him to do so. Know this, everybody that's in this church, none of us came in here perfect. The word of God has changed our life. Amen. The word changes our life. It'll change your life too if you will allow him to do it. So sometimes when you hear a sermon, you say, "Whoo, I don't know if I want to go back there. Sound like all of them got it going on." You can have it going on too if you stay around and hear the word of God. If we stay under the word of God, humble yourself under the leadership, some good things can happen to you. But if you got to have stuff your own way, you're going to rebel. Like I was telling the leaders yesterday, I've been asking about 7, 8, 9 years, what have you, for more choir members, praise team members. I should have a list of about 30, 40 people on the thing. But folks won't come. Now, I just thought about that. Now, praise team, y'all need to make sure y'all not the reason why people ain't coming. Amen. Because you can't have no bless me, just us four and no more club. And because people won't feel welcome. So you got to have an atmosphere that say, you're welcome and you're needed. So, but where there is a need in the house of God, let's fill those needs. You say, "I don't sing that good." Well, you don't cook that good either, but you cook. Well, I ain't going to dinner, so. Amen. You just keep on cooking. You'll get better. We had an elder in our years ago. His wife could not cook anything. But you know what she did? She got some cookbooks. And she turned into a gourmet chef. Wow. Amen. See, we may not know anything. Glory to God. But we get in this book. This book. And it will change your life. Amen. See, they all about what you know now. It's all about what you want to know. Amen. If you will allow God, amen, to have place in your life, he can fix everything that's broken, shine up everything that's dull. Glory to God. He can do it, saints of God. Amen. And glad to do it. Glad to do it. Hallelujah. But always remember, when he do it, you give him all the glory, all the credit, and all the honor. Hallelujah. We just got us a good God. Amen. I forgot where am I? Did I go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 yet? I finished two, though, didn't I? Well, let's go to four. I think I finished two. Yeah, I finished two. I went back to two, didn't I? Yeah, let's go back to two. Amen. See, sometimes you get melanin, it'll just throw you off. Verse 9. He said, but it is written, I have not, see, that's why I got so excited. I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us. How? How do you reveal it, Father? By his Spirit. By the Holy Ghost. If you ain't got no Holy Ghost, how you gonna get something revealed to you? By his Spirit. By his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Ooh, boy, you talking about a good deal. Glory to God. The deep things of God. How deep do you want to get? Then it says in verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, not the natural man, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. That's what I was saying, saints of God. There is this whole realm that is unseen. And he say that unseen, that which is unseen, which what we when we start talking about the Holy Spirit, you can't see the Holy Spirit. That may sound like foolishness unto you. But if you will accept what the Word of God says about the Holy Ghost, amen, he will enlighten your understanding. You'll start seeing clearer. And that's what's so beautiful about it, saints of God. We have us a wonderful Savior. Go to Romans chapter 8. My. You say, that's a whole, y'all got a whole lot of scriptures. Yeah, got a whole lot. Romans chapter 8. Thank you, Jesus. Spirit of the living God, I'm so glad I got the Holy Ghost. Amen. I like many of you, I was mistaught too about the Holy Ghost. I can remember as a boy, I would go by what we called back then holiness churches. And it was always, almost always storefront. And you could hear them before you would see them. And you would hear, you'd hear a drum, boop, 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 you know. And then, they always have the door because they didn't have no air conditioning. And, you would see folks dancing and just having a good time. Sometimes they falling out and stuff. And I remember I used to say, man, I don't want none of that. Boy, I am so glad I fell in the creek with everybody. See, you dance around that creek long enough, you're going to fall into it too. Yeah. Glory to God. I'm so glad. And I told y'all about my sanctified, my oldest brother and my aunt. Boy, you talking about some dancing folks. Goodness. Just love the Lord. Just love the Lord. My goodness. To this day, I believe their prayers kept me going until my senses were restored. Glory to God. Amen. Because, when you start getting grown, you just seem like you just lose your mind or something. If y'all done raised teenagers, y'all know what I'm talking about. Used to be so nice, and all of a sudden it seemed like they just lost their mind. You'd be wanting to prick their finger at night and get DNA and see. See whether, somebody been, done change a child or something. This is an alien here. No. Send it off or something. Glory to God. But if, the Word of God will come back to you, stay around long enough, because most people cannot, most people will get tired of misery. And they say, you'll be like the prodigal. You say, I'm going back home. I'm tired of the hog pen. Glory to God. I'm going back home. Amen. Thank God for his mercy. I'm thanking him. I don't know if y'all. Romans 8, verse 26 says, likewise, Romans 8, 26, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Now, that word infirmities, we almost exclusively use that talking about sickness and diseases. But it's not talking about that in this particular case. It's talking about our inadequacies. So, the Spirit also helpeth our inadequacies, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us groaning, with groaning, which cannot be uttered. Verse 27, and he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. See, what you think you want is not necessarily what you really need. And that's why you got to have a prayer life, a supernatural prayer life, so that you're praying the right thing. Because a lot of times, our five senses will get us in trouble. You know, because we'll get with somebody just because they're cute. Just because he's so fine. Let's just look at him. Just tall and fine. Ah! That's all right. Got to be deeper than that, though. Got to be much deeper than that. And the Word of God will help you out. On the front end. All my single sisters, y'all better listen to me. Single brothers, listen to me. I guess that's me too, right? Listen to me. Do the right thing. Amen. See, the Christian life, saints of God, is impossible to live on our own. We need help. You cannot live this Christian life under your own power. You need help. That's why you see Christians in the paper all the time messing up, because they try to do everything in their own power and their own strength. We need the Holy Ghost, saints of God. We need the Spirit of the living God, the Holy Spirit of God, to guide us, to comfort us, to regulate and control our tongue and speech and everything else, because you cannot do that on your own. Your flesh, your five senses will get you in trouble just trying to do it under your own might. We have to have help. And I thank God Almighty for divine help. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Revolutionize your life. The baptism of the Holy Ghost will change your... If you mark down the date when you got baptized in the Holy Ghost, you can see yourself starting to get better and better and better in the things of the Lord. Because why? You got divine help. Amen. Not only that, but you can't even fully walk in love without the Holy Ghost. You need help walking in love. Why? Because most people ain't lovable. You need some divine help. Amen. Go to Acts chapter 2, then we're going to close. See, you can't become spiritually mature without the Holy Ghost. Need him every hour. Glory to God. See, don't let the enemy rob you of your joy of being filled with the Holy Ghost. Don't let him rob you of your joy of being filled with the Holy Ghost. You want to get out of the mess that you're in? Get filled with the Holy Ghost. He'll show you how to get out of that mess. Oh, Pastor, I don't need all that. Okay, well, just stay where you're at and just watch us prosper. Y'all found Acts yet? Don't let him rob you. Acts chapter 2. The Word of God says, and suddenly, in verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. This is the fulfillment of the prophecy. This is when the Holy Ghost came upon the church as a whole. The Holy Ghost didn't just show up in Acts. The Holy Ghost has been around since the beginning. In the Old Testament, he was there, except only a few people had him, a few classes of people, prophets, priests, and the kings that were surrender their lives to God. You know, they had the Holy Ghost. You know, a person like, you know, the laity, if I can use that term, did not have the Holy Spirit per se. So it says, and there suddenly came a sound from heaven, but the prophet Joel, about 900 years before the Holy Ghost was given to the church, prophesied that this, what I'm reading now, was going to happen. And about 900 years, 800, whatever it is, years later, it happened. And there was, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them folks that were sitting in the house, cloven tongues like as a fire. And the word of God says it sat, S-A-T, sat on each of them. Thank you, Lord. And, everybody say and. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. So the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit will inspire you to speak in tongues, but the Holy Spirit is not speaking in tongues. It's you that's going to be speaking in tongues. Because, see, a lot of us, a lot of times you pray with people and they'll just stand there and won't. You got to utter something out of your mouth. You got to start uttering something. It ain't like the Holy Ghost, say this is my head or your head or a head. It ain't like the Holy Ghost hand going to go through the back of your head and make your mouth move and say stuff. You got to, first of all, you got to believe that you receive, and then you start uttering things that don't make any sense. That's where our five senses get us in trouble when we get filled with the Holy Ghost, because it don't sound like nothing. It sound like your 3-month-old baby. You say, man, that sound like little Pookie. It might. I've heard tongues sound like all kinds of things. Glory to God. So don't get caught up on that. That's where we miss it. Our five senses shut us down. And our five senses say, well, what is that? And so we are shut down. You got to go. You got to believe you have it. And the more, it's just like anything, the more you pray and speak in tongues, the more eloquent or the more fluent or affluent. Is it affluent? Fluent, yeah, fluent. The more fluent you will get in your speech. So don't be moved by what you hear at first, because that's what throws us off. And then a lot of times the people that's coaching us will throw us off. You know, you can't speak in the Holy Ghost and say, nah, say that. You can't do that. I've heard people do that. And I say, no, you know, they'll talk and tell them, and I say, nah, say that. You know, you can't do that. You know, you have to just surrender. You have to be willing to be feel like a fool. But you won't be a fool if you're willing to be a fool for God. You won't be a fool. And it'll just happen. And it'll just happen. And it'll just flow, and it'll just flow. And the word of God says the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. In other words, you can talk and stop anytime you want. You can't just get up and say, well, I couldn't help myself, Pastor. That's why I was making all that noise doing church. Yes, you can. You can help yourself. You ain't want to just, now, I would rather you say, well, Pastor, I know I was wrong, but it just felt so good. That I could roll with. Amen. Because you're telling the truth. But now if you come, you know, if I'm talking to you in the office, say, well, you messed up half hour of our service like that. I don't want you in there talking about I couldn't help myself. You could help yourself. Amen. The Holy Ghost will not make you do that. Holy Ghost is going to make you do anything. He'll make you love people. Make you, you know, made you got saved, you know, 10 years earlier. Certainly will make you pay tithes and offerings. Glory to God. You blame it on the Holy Ghost. Amen. But he don't speak in tongues. You are the one that's going to speak in tongues. So remember that. Because some folks are just right on the verge. But they won't say nothing. They'll just stand. You've got to open your mouth and say something. You say, what to say? Well, just start saying anything that's not English. Or if you don't understand that, English. Glory to God. Glory to God. And it'll flow. And it'll flow. You say, well, I don't want to do it around nobody. Because well, okay. Well, do it home. Practice at home. Practice at home. Practice in the shower, backyard while you're tending to the garden. Just practice. Amen. Like sister told the elder, just speak, man. Just go on this, just speak. It'll happen. Change your life. Praise God. Well, I hope y'all was blessed this morning. Amen.